From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Amanda. I'm going to accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other information, as well as Indonesian songs. We begin with the news. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, and you can also join our broadcast via audio streaming at www.voanews.id and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will learn problem inventory list of Corruption Eradication Commission revised law. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla says revision of Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK law to boost its performance. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo admitted that he has received a problem inventory list, or DIM, related to the plan of revised law of the Corruption Eradication Commission, or KPK. After opening the 37th ASEAN International Engineers Conference Wednesday morning in Kemayoran, Jakarta, President Joko Widodo said he had to study the contents of the list of problem inventory sent by the Indonesian House or DPR. If he has finished studying the list related to the KPK law revision, then he will send a presidential letter in response to the plan of the KPK revised law.
Jadi, baru saya terima DIM-nya tadi. Akan saya pelajari.
I just received the list of problem inventory, or DIM, and I will learn it today. Then we send it tomorrow. I will convey what materials really need to be revised. Moreover, President Joko Widodo stressed that he was committed not to interfere with the independence of the KPK in carrying out its task to eradicate corruption. President Joko Widodo is aware that there will be pros and cons to the president's response that will be sent to the parliament in the form of a presidential letter. President Joko Widodo has received inputs from various parties earlier, including from ministries and experts. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla opined that the revision to Law No. 30 of 2002 on Corruption Eradication Commission, or KPK, is aimed at enhancing the anti-graft body's performance rather than weakening the agency. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta on Tuesday said that the point is that the government wants to encourage the KPK with a clear legal base. There is legal certainty for both the KPK as well as the public. There is legal certainty for both the KPK as well as the public. He also noted that revision to the law will help the commission to conduct its tasks and to ensure that its work can be accounted for. He further said basically it will require some improvements, for instance during surveillance, wiretapping, and red-handed operation, the regulation on it must be improved. Revision to the law on the anti-graft body was initiated by the House of Representatives for discussion and approval prior to the conclusion of its serving period in October 2019. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received a number of prominent figures from Papua and West Papua on Tuesday afternoon at the State Palace in Jakarta. During the meeting, the figures led by Chairman of the Regional House of Representatives, or DPRD, Jayapura, Abisai Rolo, submitted a number of requests to the President. One of the requests is that the President to build the Presidential Palace in Papua. Abisai Rolo also said that the Papuan people are ready to grant 10 hectares of land to the President to be used for area of Presidential Palace. In this regard, President Joko Widodo approved the request to build the Presidential Palace in Jayapura.
Mengenai istana presiden, ini yang di sana itu yang sulit kan tanahnya. Ini tanahnya tadi sudah.
Regarding the Presidential Palace, what is difficult there is the problem of land. But 10 hectares have been provided free of charge, right? Today it has been submitted de facto. I will discuss this with the ministers first, so that the decision on this matter is not wrong. So starting next year, the palace can be built. In addition to request to build the presidential palace in Jayapura, there were a number of other requests conveyed by leaders of Papua and West Papua when meeting with the president at the state palace. The requests are the expansion of 5 indigenous territories in Papua and West Papua, the establishment of the National Agency of Land Affairs of Papua, the placement of Echelon 1 and 2 officials in ministries and institutions, as well as security guarantees for Papuan students. During the meeting, the Papuan and West Papuan leaders also urged for the revision of the special autonomy laws and the acceleration of the construction of the East Palapa Ring satellite. Indonesia submitted a narrative of ASEAN identity at the 15th ASEAN Senior Officials Meeting for Culture and Arts, or ASEAN 15th SOMCA, in Yogyakarta. Director of ASEAN Socio-Cultural Cooperation, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Rias Saihu, on Tuesday explained that in addition to socializing ASEAN issues to the community, the narrative of ASEAN identity also showed that Southeast Asian countries have similarity of values. The similarity of values among ASEAN countries are all ASEAN member countries other than Thailand have ever been colonized by Western countries. They have the influence of Indian and Chinese culture and have values of tolerance and diversity. This similarity brings a sense of togetherness.
Nah, masyarakat ASEAN itu paham tidak bahwa sebetulnya kita ini semua sama, punya nilai-nilai toleransi.
Now, do the ASEAN community understand that they actually have something in common? We have values of tolerance, mutual understanding, and the people are very diverse. It is easy for us to adopt all values to the Southeast Asian regions. We bring the narrative to all the pillars, such as politics, social, security, economy, and culture, so that they can understand. Rias further explained that this sense of togetherness and unity would then be implemented in various community activities to be more understand about ASEAN. This narrative will be taken to a higher level so that it can be one of the successes of Indonesia's leadership at AMCA and SOMCA by carrying out ASEAN's identity. The internet can function as a double-edged sword. On the one hand, the internet has many opportunities, but on the other hand, the internet also has many challenges. The most important thing is how humans can take advantage of opportunities and overcome these challenges. As stated by Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi in her remarks at the Regional Conference on Digital Diplomacy in Jakarta on Tuesday, the minister said the internet could be used in diplomacy for various purposes. One of them is to spread peace.
Allow me to present 4 ideas in trying to address those questions. First, to use digital diplomacy to spread the message of peace. New internet technology and media tools should be utilized in countering the growing threat of violent extremism and hatred on the net. This is the area that the international community should further explore, and this is where diplomacy is needed.
In addition to spreading peace, Minister Retno Marsudi also said digital diplomacy through the internet could also be used as a tool for economic cooperation, protecting Indonesian citizens abroad and as the development tool. The regional conference on digital diplomacy was attended by approximately 100 delegates from 16 countries, including Australia, Brunei Darussalam, the Philippines, India, and South Korea. Along with the conference, a digital technology exhibition was also held on September 10 until 11. Director General of Culture, Ministry of Education and Culture, Hilmar Farid, opened the 15th ASEAN Senior Officials Meeting for Culture and Arts, or ASEAN 15th SOMCA, on Tuesday, September 10. In his opening address, Hilmar said, "This meeting would further strengthen regional cooperation and with dialogue partners, especially in the field of culture and the arts." Indonesia is the chair of the SOMCA and the ASEAN ministers responsible for culture and arts, or AMCA, for the 2018 up to 2019 period. The 7th AMCA meeting last year produced a Yogyakarta Declaration, which instituted a culture of prevention and also discussed the ASEAN Strategic Plan for Culture and the Arts of 2016 until 2025. He hopes this meeting will formulate strategic decisions that will strengthen cooperation in the fields of culture and art.
Indonesia has served as the ASEAN SOMCA and AMCA chairman for the period of 2018-2019. Indonesia has been trying its best to accommodate all initiatives and constructive recommendations in order to implement the ASEAN Strategic Plan for Culture and the Arts 2016-2025, as well as to enhance the cooperation. I hope the upcoming chairmanship could do a lot more and better.
Hilmar Farid further explained the 15th SOMCA agenda on the first day was the renewal of decisions related to the ASEAN meeting. The draft work plan of the ASEAN Action Plan to prevent the rise of radicalism and extremism of violence 2018 until 2025, ASEAN Strategic Plan for Culture and Arts 2016 until 2025, and cultural cooperation with ASEAN dialogue partners. At the 15th SOMCA meeting, Indonesia submitted a narrative on ASEAN identity in an effort to further ground ASEAN. The 15th SOMCA is being held in Yogyakarta from 9th until 12th September 2019. Russia's Association for Export of Technological Sovereignty, or ASET, is eyeing cooperation with Indonesian firms and universities to develop cybersecurity technology. It was said by group's chairman of ASET, Andres Bezrukos, at the Export of Technological Sovereignty Workshop Sidelines Tuesday, as quoted by Antara News Agency. Bezrukos noted that 6 Russian tech companies and 2 university representatives that he presented during today's meeting were drawn to collaborating with governments, colleges, and companies in Indonesia to develop some technologies as a precautionary measure against cyber threats. He explained that cybersecurity technology had become one of the top requirements of not only government bodies, but also businesses in various sectors, including banking, services, information and communication, manufacture, construction, as well as oil and gas explorations. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Panglima tak pernah berhenti, aturan setia berjiwa Pancasila. Kita setia pada sekerjanya, ampera tujuan utama. Penuh pengabdian pada revolusi, demi Tuhan demi Pertiwi. Sekali di udara tetapi udara. Semboyan kami angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh yang setia berjiwa Pancasila. Kita setia landas sekerjanya, ampera tujuan utama. Penuh pengabdian pada revolusi, demi Tuhan demi Pertiwi. Sekali di udara tetap di udara.
Today's commentary is on U.S.-North Korean dispute solution. North Korea uses the nuclear issue to reopen dialogue with the United States. That tendency appears from its rhetoric and concrete actions. On Monday, September the 9th, top North Korean officials said they were willing to reopen dialogue with the United States over the abolition of North Korea's nuclear program. But a few hours later, the North Korean military fired two short-range projectiles, which is the 10th test since early May 2019. North Korea's nuclear test continues after no agreement reached between President Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un at a meeting in Hanoi last February. At that time, Donald Trump had dispelled the hopes of Kim Jong-un, who requested that Washington revoke sanctions imposed on North Korea. Jong-un stated that U.S. sanctions had weakened North Korea. North Korea's hopes that the United States will soften and change policy by lifting economic sanctions have not yet materialized. The launch of the projectile carried out by North Korea can be seen as Kim Jong-un's strategy of pressuring Washington to reopen a dialogue that has stalled since last February. Regarding North Korea's statement to return to negotiation, Washington so far has not given any serious response. From the White House, reportedly, Donald Trump only stated that it was a good thing to negotiate with North Korea. There has also been no reaction to North Korea's projectile test hours after the desire to return to the negotiating table was stated. Both parties, the United States and North Korea, still have to find ways to resolve their disputes. Well, that was commentary today on U.S.-North Korean dispute solution. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Today in history, I'll begin with September 11, 1945. Radio Republik Indonesia, RRI, is established. Radio Republik Indonesia, or RRI, in English should be RRI, is a radio station owned by the Indonesian government. RRI's slogan is Once in the Air, Stay in the Air. Radio Republik Indonesia was officially founded on September 11, 1945 by prominent figures who previously actively operated several Japanese radio stations in six cities. The six radio delegations meeting at the House of Adang Kadarusman Jalan Menteng Dalam Jakarta resulted in the decision to establish Radio Republik Indonesia by electing Abdurrahman Saleh as the first RRI leader. The meeting also produced a declaration known as the September 11, 1945 Charter, which contained 3 points of RRI's task and function commitments, which became known as Tri Prasetya RRI. September 11 is celebrated as National Radio Day since then. Turning to September 11, 2001, the 11 September attacks.
on September 11, 2001, hijacked 4 civilian jets and the planes in suicide attacks crashed 2 planes into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City and the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia. When a passenger tried to take over the 4th aircraft, United Airlines Flight 93, the plane crashed in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and failed to reach its target in Washington, D.C. According to an investigation team report, about 3,000 people died in the attack. The 19 hijackers came from Al-Qaeda organizations. The United States has reacted by fighting in Afghanistan since 2001 with the aim of destroying all Al-Qaeda people. They also invaded Iraq in 2003. I'll conclude with September 11, 2012. The 18th National Sports Week opens in Pekanbaru, Riau. The 18th Indonesian National Sports Week was held in Pekanbaru, Riau on September 11 until September 20, 2012. Its mascot is the serindit bird called Bujang Serindit, which is a typical animal in the Riau province. On September 9, 2011, the Riau Provincial Government inaugurated the countdown timer upon the 16th Monument. The opening event of the 16th National Sport Week itself was originally scheduled to be held on September 9, 2012. This date was chosen because it coincided with National Sport Day, which is usually commemorated on September the 9th. However, the implementation was postponed to September 11, 2012, due to adjustment to the schedule of President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, who was to officially open PON the 16th. Well, that was today in history. This time, from RRI World Service in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, from Indonesia to the world.
Cukup menyegarkan, bingung mau apa, sarapan.
There was a song titled Radio by Bass Jam. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we'll give you our topic, My Indonesia. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia, entitled Indonesia Holds Commitment from India to Compete RCEP in 2019. Indonesia and ASEAN gained commitment from Indonesia to finish negotiation of Multilateral Trade Agreement Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, so that the substance of the 16 countries agreement draft can be agreed this year. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita, after attending ASEAN Troika Plus with India in Bangkok, Thailand on Sunday, September 8, said Indonesia is still fully committed according to instruction from 16 RCEP member countries' leaders that the negotiation must finish by November 2019. However, India demanded services access from RCEP countries if the region intends to gain goods market access to India that is populated by 1.3 billion people. ASEAN Troika Plus, that represented 10 ASEAN countries, held a meeting with India before the ministerial-level plenary meeting for RCEP on Sunday because the RCEP negotiation deadlock since 2012 mostly comes from India's demand. Indonesian delegation acted as coordinator in this meeting. According to Enggar Tias Tolukita, the deadlock was because India has big trade market and will be targeted by many RCEP countries. In addition, India has never bid itself to any free trade agreement. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership RCEP negotiation must be quickened to reach completion target in November 2019. Indonesia and ASEAN also need agreement bases, such as RCEP, to be able to increase export value and volume to mitigate impact from global economic slowdown, as well as economic growth recess. From ASEAN Troika Plus meeting, demand to penetrate service industry access of RCEP countries was one emphasis from India. Besides that, there were some complaints from India, especially on technicalities. The demand from India will be submitted to Regional Trade Negotiating Committee, TNC team, led by Indonesian Trade Ministry's Director General of International Trade Negotiation, Imam Pambagio, to be discussed in RCEP caucus. TNC team leader Imam Pambagio said, RCEP countries are still given discretion to consider fairness aspects from each country's sensitivity and flexibility without abandoning togetherness principle, so that this agreement can be substantially completed by November 2019. Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership RCEP was an agreement covering 10 ASEAN countries, such as Indonesia, Brunei Darussalam, Cambodia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam, as well as 6 ASEAN trade partners, namely China, India, Japan, Australia, South Korea, and New Zealand. That was My Indonesia.
Segala asa hilang, rasa sendiri.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
There was a song titled Jingga or Orange by Lala Karmela. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we will give you information about Indonesian tourism, also cultures and local wisdom in our segment Indonesian Wonder. Today, we'll introduce you to Tomohon in North Sulawesi. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia. Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I invite you to visit Tomohon City in North Sulawesi Province. Tomohon City is one of cities in North Sulawesi Province. Since a long time ago, the city has been written in some historical notes. One of them is an ethnographic work, Priest and Graveland, who wrote about a country, namely Tomohon, that was visited by him around 1850 by using Queen Elizabeth's ship. Tomohon is one of regions which is included in Tombulu ethnic. This ethnic is one of 8 Minahasa ethnics. Through a long legal process and considerations in the framework of accelerating the nation's development for the welfare of society widely, the regional government of Minahasa, along with the Regional Representative Council of Minahasa, recommended people's aspiration to establish South Minahasa Regency. Tomon City and North Minahasa Regency, which is supported by North Sulawesi Provincial Government. The people of Tomohon City have customs and culture called Mapalus. Mapalus, which means working together and helping each other, has been rooted and entrenched among them. The culture is still preserved up today. The beautiful city is also called as the City of Flower. Its fertile land makes almost all types of flower grow in the city. A village at Tomohon City also becomes the main tourism destination. It is Bunga Hamlet. Bunga Hamlet, located at Kakaskasen Village in North Tomohon District, is the initial location of floriculture development of Tomohon City. From the center of Tomohon City, the distance is 3 kilometers to the Bunga Hamlet. Surrounding area of the village, there are many hotels and resorts with beautiful view where there are two volcanoes, Lokon and Mahau. At this location, you can see and enjoy various kinds of potted ornamental plants and also flowers which are managed from generation to generation and placed at kiosk and also offered to visitors. Growing or selling the flowers is the way to earn a living for the local people. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Terlihat jelas di matamu, tak bisa kau mengerti aku. Ada banyak wajah cerita, kau bisa pilih semaumu. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku. Oh, oh. Hanya hatiku. Satu tumbuh seribu kata-katamu seperti debu. Ada banyak wajah cerita, ku kan memilih yang ku mau. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku. Gelas penuhmu, oh, oh, takkan terisi. Hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hatiku.
Bicaralah apa yang kau mau.
Hatiku
ini hidupku.
Bicaralah yang kau mau. Ini hidupku. Bicaralah yang kau mau. Ini hidupmu.
You've just listened to a song titled Wajah Cerita by Ben Xiaombing. For the next segment, let's learn Indonesian language in a fun and easy way with our program Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Aku terjatuh dari pohon, or in English, I fell from tree. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about aku terjatuh dari pohon, or in English, I fell from tree. Tony and Dinda are at family room. They are talking about events that have ever been happened in the past.
Waktu aku masih kecil, aku pernah terjatuh dari pohon.
Oh ya? Di mana?
Di halaman belakang.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Jatuh, which means fall. Injak, which means to step. Tabrak, which means to crash or to hit. Bawa, which means to carry. Waktu aku masih kecil, aku pernah terjatuh dari pohon, which means when I was a child, I've ever fell down from tree. Di mana, which means where. Di halaman belakang, which means at the backyard. Waktu aku masih muda, which means when I was young. Saat aku berumur 6 tahun, which means when I was 6 years old. Ketika remaja, which means when I was a teenager. In a dialogue, Dinda tells about an incident she has ever experienced. She said, "Aku terjatuh dari pohon." Usually, the accident occurred suddenly. An event that happens unintentionally, usually preceded by affix ter. Let's follow to some examples of unintentionally accident. Kakiku terinjak orang itu, which means my foot is stepped on that man. Aku terjatuh dari pohon, which means I fell from a tree. Dia tertabrak mobil, which means he or she was hit by car. Maaf, buku bapak terbawa oleh saya, which means sorry, I'm not intentionally carried your book. Next, When telling about the accident in the past, it is usually mentioned adverb of time related to the age. For examples, ketika aku masih kecil, waktu kecil, which means when I was a child. Waktu aku masih muda, which means when I was young. Saat aku berumur 6 tahun, which means when I was 6 years old. Ketika remaja, which means when I was a teenager. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Waktu aku masih kecil, aku pernah terjatuh dari pohon.
Oh ya? Di mana?
Di halaman belakang.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Ketika ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul tanya, masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta, atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Namun siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Jalanku.
aku inginkan kau ada.
Inginkan kau ada
di hidupku. Bila kau jatuh cinta, katakanlah. Cinta, katakanlah.
That was a song by Hi-Fi titled Siapkah Kau Tuk Jatuh Cinta or Are You Ready to Fall in Love? For the next segment, we'll give you our music program, which is Music Corner. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition of Music Corner, I present a regional song to you from South Sumatra province entitled Dek Sangke. The song Dek Sangke, which means unexpected, tells about Lai, a man who claims himself a single person, but actually he is married, while a woman claims herself as a single woman. Apparently, she is widow with 3 children. This song also conveys the message that lies will end in misery. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Dek Sangke, sung by Penta Boys.
Listener, thank you very much for being with us in our terrestrial program. And also, we'd like to remind you that you can participate by giving your feedbacks and comments to our email address, voi@voinews.id. Also, you can visit some of our social media like Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, and also Twitter @voiindonesia. Thank you for joining us.